Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Boy, what a blessing this book has been. You look into these precious scriptures, and you know, based upon the Lord's Word, you know the gospel's there. Search the Scriptures, these are they that testify of me. And the blessing of being able to look and look for Him. If we fail to see Him, we've not seen aright. If we fail to see salvation by grace, we didn't see right. I'd like to look at Proverbs 13, verses 7 to 9. I've entitled this message, Who Made You Rich? Who Made You Rich? Before we begin, let's once again ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, again, we ask, and we seek, and we knock. And Lord, based upon Your Word, You said, we'll find. It'll be open. You'll make it known. And Lord, we realize this morning that You alone, by Your Holy Spirit, brings back to our memory those things that You've said. Lord, would You bless these words to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. The passage that we'll deal with today beautifully sets forth the contrast between true and everlasting salvation before God Almighty in Christ and the false security that's held on to by the unregenerate sinner in himself. Now this is the message of this book. Life eternal in Christ, or the condemnation of life without Christ. Verse 7, Proverbs 13 says, There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. There is that maketh himself. That, the word maketh there, and in the latter part, he that maketh himself poor, that word right there means to act. There's an act, there's a motion. There's something that is actually done. Though man by nature, because of the spiritual death that actually reigns in his unregenerated soul. Because he thinks himself rich before God and is increased with spiritual goods, though he thinks that, the Scripture reveals that the unregenerate, and here again, the Scriptures alone sets forth those that are unregenerate, those that are without Christ, those that do not hear and believe the one that has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God Almighty said that. To not believe the report that God has given concerning His Son, to not believe the gospel, And as I said before, men will say, are you saying that it's absolutely necessary to believe the gospel, the report of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it absolutely necessary to believe the message of sovereign, saving, electing, redeeming grace? Is it absolutely necessary? Yes. 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 That's the gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. It. If any man preach any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Why would a man stand in a pulpit Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and set forth scripture by scripture by scripture by scripture, and it's the same message of God's purpose to show mercy to people that He's everlastingly loved? Why? Because that is the message of the gospel. It's the only message. No other message. And no believer ever tires of it. Every believer says, tell me that one more time. I just want to hear it one more time. As I've said before, if you want to know how often a believer wants to hear it, let him be ready to leave this world. And if there was one, he's on his deathbed. He's getting ready to leave this world. You know what he wants to hear? Tell me one more time how the Lord put away my guilt. Tell me one more time how He told me, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Tell me one more time how He told me, He said, I'm not going to forsake you. I just want to hear it one more time. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Tell me one more time how God Almighty everlastingly loved me and saved me without any input of my own. Tell me that one more time. The Scripture reveals that those that think themselves rich, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Now you know that right there is saying that whatever someone is doing and acting out to make himself rich, here's the end result. He doesn't have anything. Now you know that's obvious. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. He has thought to have made himself rich before God by his own works. And he's wretched, afflicted, miserable, pitied. He's poor, destitute of wealth in Christ. Blind, spiritually, and naked, robed only with the filthy rags of his own self-righteousness. But the latter part of that verse, now listen to this, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. There is that is actually done, acted, that maketh himself poor and hath great riches. Now, Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Surely, all those made to see themselves as being poor, unable to reconcile themselves back to God, they actually admit, they do confess, they do act in a way of submission before the Lord. I know myself to be poor. I am what you say I am in myself. The Scripture reveals that the kingdom of God is theirs. But read the Scripture again. There is that maketh himself poor, hath great riches. The Spirit of God in this passage reveals one that made himself poor. I was born like that. But there was one, the Scripture says, that made himself poor. And the one that made himself poor, he has great riches. One thought himself to have great riches. And the Scripture says he has nothing. But there's one that has made himself poor. And he has. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Two attitudes right here. Those that think that they've made themselves rich, they don't have anything. It's not that I believe, therefore my faith made me rich. No, no, no. Your faith believes that in yourself, you're nothing without him who made himself poor. He is the one who has great riches. The one that made himself of no reputation, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who was in himself Creator, all-powerful, the mighty God. The Scripture says, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, God himself made himself poor. I believe that, and I try to enter into that, and I say, Lord, thank you for what you said you've done. And Lord, forgive me for my inability to perceive what you've actually done. Thanks be unto God. You that made yourself poor. Lord, you have great riches. What riches? The Scripture says, my God, but my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What riches? How about righteousness? How about holiness before God Almighty? How about pardon of sin? How about the pardon of the sin that I just committed? Just in my thoughts, just the waywardness, just for before I even knew it, before I realized what I was even doing. How about the pardon that God Almighty grants unto me because my sin has been paid for and the blood of Christ has atoned for it, satisfied, put it away, covered it. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom, verse 8, of a man's life are his riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. Here again, we can look at that two ways. One is false hope, the other one is total hope. There are those that think that they have met the requirements for ransom before God by their own ability. Now, just think of it like that. The ransom of a man's life is his riches. Now, if I'm standing here and I'm thinking falsely, I need for my life to be right with the Lord. and men have told me, all I've got to do is ABC. Now, if I will ABC, whatever that is, name whatever you want to name, just any works of self-righteousness, whatever it is, the ransom of a man's life is my riches. If I think that I have done something to atone for God Almighty, for myself, I've put away my guilt by my free will. The ransom of a man's life is his riches. A false ransom. But that is my riches. Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name. We've done many mighty works. We did that. Lord, we've done all those things. And he said, I will say unto you in that day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Stand before God in your own merit, by your own ability, by your own works, and he will cast you out. But the eternal redemption of a man's soul requires a greater ransom, a greater price that can be paid by man. You know that. Nothing short of the precious blood of Christ is sufficient for that. 1 Peter, I want you to look at this. I saw something in this today that and it's so consistent. It's just absolutely consistent. But I never saw 1 Peter 1:18-19. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, Or listen to the next thing. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You weren't saved by your silver and gold, and you weren't saved by your empty, vain works, walks, actions, by your vain conversation. That unprofitable conduct, that's what it means. Vain conversation, unprofitable. What can a man do to reconcile himself back to God? Nothing. Can't do anything. Empty. Those who by the grace of God are made to see themselves as poor in spirit, those who have no confidence in the flesh, that see themselves as needy sinners, they've got some hope. Back in Proverbs 13, the ransom of a man's life are his riches, Christ's riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. Those truly made to be poor in spirit will not hear the rebuke of God. God Almighty has rebuked them in a substitute already. They're not going to hear a casting out. they're not going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." To hear him say in that day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." To hear him say into that day, "Enter in. Enter into that which has been prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Lord, all of these things that you've prepared for those that you've everlastingly loved, thanks be unto God. Verse 9, "The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out." The light, now I want you to notice in that there's two things that's referred to, a light and a lamp. A light and a lamp. The first one is permanent. The first one is light in itself. The light, that means that which is light itself, Christ Himself. The Lord, David said, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The light of the righteous rejoices. Now there's two thoughts here. Absolutely. Christ, the light of the redeemed, He rejoices. He said that my delight was with the sons of men. I was ever before Him. I was ever His delight and our delight was with our people. All that the Father had given Him, He's everlastingly delighted in. Oh, the precious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious to Him. Precious to Him. I'm lost in the wonder. Oh, we go back and read Song of Solomon again. We went through that book years ago. And I go back and I read those things and I just, oh, my heart just, Lord, how is it, Lord, that you could call to me and I could give you excuses? I have already laid down. And you put your hand beside the hole of the door, constrain me. Cause me to call unto you. Can you tell me where He is that my soul loves? Have you seen Him? Found Him, held Him. He said, "I've always loved you. I've always." The light of the righteous rejoices. Rejoices in His people. They've been given to Him by His Father. That's His bride. He loves her. That's His body. He loves His people. But also, the light that has shined in the hearts of God's people. The objects of God's mercy, they rejoice too. That's the other one. The light of the righteous rejoices. He rejoices in them, and they rejoice in Him. The light that they have, the light that they possess, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The light of the righteous, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They rejoice. Thankful. Those regenerated by the grace of God, they know that God's shown mercy to them. Christ, who is their light, He who ever lives, they thank God for Him. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. But the lamp of the wicked, the candle, you may have that in your margin there. The candle. Temporary. That's what it is. Temporary. The lamp of the wicked shall be put out. What more do we need to say about that? Just like those foolish virgins that had no oil for their lamps. They had a lamp. They just didn't have any oil. There was nothing there. It was empty. The candle of false security shall be proven to fail in that day. Here's what we looked at. Who made you rich? That was the title of this message. Shun trying to make yourself rich before God by your own self-righteous works. There is that, the Scripture says, maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Ransom of a man's life are his riches. But the poor heareth not rebuke. The lamp of the righteous rejoiceth. I'm the light of the righteous rejoiceth. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Come unto me, the Lord said, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Who made you rich? A man's either going to try to make himself rich, or God Almighty's going to make him rich in Christ. He said, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.